Hello and welcome to the Subverse News Podcast. Today we're going to talk about a range of topics, including a gunman who killed 22 in El Paso, Texas, a gunman who killed 9 people in Dayton, Ohio, tensions escalating as India sets to remove Kashmir autonomy, and DARPA is to test a secure open-source voting box at DEF CON 2019. Before we get into today's topics, make sure you follow us on Minds at subverse.minds.com, where you can find our articles, exclusive content, and our distributed newsroom. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. All those links are in the podcast description.
On Saturday, August 3rd, a man opened fire inside a Walmart located in El Paso, Texas, reportedly killing 22 people and wounding another 24. The man, who police identified as Patrick Crucius, entered the store packed with as many as 3,000 people, carrying a rifle, and began shooting. Officers from the El Paso Police Department, Homeland Security, Texas State Troopers, and Border Patrol responded to the scene. The suspect surrendered to police and was subsequently taken into custody without incident. The mayor of El Paso, Dee Margo, stated that police made it to the scene within 6 minutes. Images of the suspect taken by store cameras show him wearing khaki trousers, a dark t-shirt, ear protection, and carrying an AK-47-style weapon. Most of the injured were initially taken to the University Medical Center of El Paso, where a number of victims remained in surgery, according to hospital spokesperson Ryan Mielke. One victim reportedly died in the hospital. The El Paso Police Department initially reported at 11 p.m. on the day of the incident that there may have been more than one suspect in the shooting. Police conducted a door-to-door search of businesses in the general location of the Walmart, searching for additional suspects. Police officials later stated that Crucius was the only shooter that the department could confirm. Crucius traveled nearly 650 miles to the El Paso Walmart from his hometown of Allen, Texas. El Paso is located along the Rio Grande and is adjacent to the U.S.-Mexico border. The El Paso police stated that they were examining a reported manifesto, allegedly written by the suspect. El Paso Police Chief Greg Allen stated that there was a potential nexus to a hate crime. The 4-page document posted to an online image board, 8chan, the document also stated support for the Christchurch mosque gunman who killed 51 people in New Zealand this past March. Further updates about the manifesto have not been released by El Paso police, but it's been reported that the FBI has opened up an investigation about treating the situation as a possible domestic terror situation. Texas Governor Greg Abbott weighed in on the situation, telling reporters, "We are going to aggressively prosecute it as both a capital murder but also a hate crime, which is exactly what it appears to be. I don't want to get ahead of the evidence." President Donald Trump took to Twitter and stated that the shooting is an act of cowardice and, "I know that I stand with everyone in this country to condemn today's hateful act. There is no reason or excuses that will ever justify killing innocent people." On Sunday, August 4th, the Foreign Ministry of Mexico stated that the attack was a terrorist act against innocent Mexicans. Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard said in a video posted to Twitter that Mexico will act, adding, "The president has instructed me to ensure that Mexico's indignation translates into efficient, prompt, expeditious, and forceful legal action. For Mexico to take a role and demand that conditions are established that protect Mexicans in the United States." While police still have not released a list of the victims of the attack, Ebrard tweeted the names of 5 Mexican nationals who were killed in Saturday's shooting. Reports have identified some of the other victims in the shootings. County prosecutors are seeking the death penalty against Crucius, while federal authorities are separately pursuing a domestic terrorism charge. The El Paso District Attorney, Jamie Esparza, spoke with reporters on Sunday, stating, "I know the death penalty is something very powerful, but in this occasion, it's something that is necessary." The U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Texas, John Bash, stated that the crime meets federal domestic terrorism criteria, saying, "This meets the definition. It appears to be designed to intimidate a civilian population, and we are going to do what we do to terrorists in this country, which is deliver swift and certain justice." While both federal and state authorities are seeking maximum charges on the suspect, the FBI has not established whether or not Crucius acted on his own accord or whether he was working in conjunction with others. Jeanette Harper, the spokesperson for the El Paso FBI office, stated that they are conducting interviews and have executed 3 search warrants in tandem with the investigation. "Through those interviews, we are putting the investigation together to be able to determine if he was part of a group or working with other individuals that were planning any future attacks," Harper stated. "At this point, we don't have any credible information to say that there's anything going on in the future."
A gunman opened fire in front of a bar in Dayton, Ohio, early Sunday morning, injuring 14 and killing 9 people, including his own sister. Police identified the suspected gunman as 24-year-old Connor Stephen Betts of Bellbrook, Ohio. Betts was reportedly wearing all black, body armor, a mask, and was equipped with an assault-style rifle. Betts opened fire at approximately 1:05 a.m. in front of popular bar Ned Pepper's, and police responded within 20 seconds of the shots, neutralizing the shooter in 30 seconds. Police are still investigating the motive for the crime, as facts and information about Betts are still being verified. Several news outlets have obtained comments from former classmates claiming Betts was a pretty dark kid, and that he may have created a hit list of people he wanted to kill years before during his time at Bellbrook High School. Betts' former classmates told CNN that they recalled Betts being removed from school for at least a year, but that he later returned to Bellbrook High. Douglas A. Cozad, Bellbrook Sugar Creek School's superintendent, confirmed that Betts had been a student at the high school in 2013, but did not confirm the existence of the list, saying, "Since he has not been a student here for over 6 years, we are still gathering additional information and will release it as soon as we can." Police say that the assault-style rifle used in the attack had been modified from when it was bought, fitted with an extended drum magazine that could hold 100 rounds. The gun was bought legally, online, from a dealer in Texas, and shipped to a local firearms dealer, police said. An additional shotgun was reportedly found in Betts' car. Betts' sister, Megan, 22 years old, was one of the first to be killed. Megan graduated from Bellbrook High School 2 years behind her brother and played in the marching band with him. The New York Times spoke with Alex Gerbic, another member of the band, who said she was outgoing, while her brother was more withdrawn. "She was a very bubbly person, very kind," Gerbic said. "From what I knew, they were close, as brother and sister. This was about 5 or 6 years ago." Dayton Police Chief Richard Beal said the siblings had arrived in the same vehicle with a third person earlier in the evening, but separated before the rampage. The slain victims include Lois Oglesby, black female, 27, Saeed Saleh, 38, black male, Logan Turner, white male, age 30, Nicholas P. Coomer, white male, 25, Thomas J. McNichols, black male, 25, Beatrice N. Warren Curtis, black female, 36, Monica E. Brickhouse, black female, 39, and Derek R. Fudge, black male, 57. Beal said, "We have no evidence to suggest that there's a bias motive in this crime at this time." Ohio Governor Mike DeWine said he is heartbroken over the horrible attack and has ordered flags across the state remain at half staff. Mayor of Dayton, Nan Whaley, said she commended Dayton's first responders, adding if officers hadn't responded in less than a minute, many more might have died. "It is a terrible day for Dayton, but I am so grateful for Dayton Police's fast action," Whaley said.
On Monday, August 5th, the Indian government stated that it is revoking the constitutional provision that has granted Kashmir regional autonomy. Kashmir, a mountainous region along the India-Pakistan border, has been long disputed by both countries since the 1947 partitioning of British India. The partitioning resulted in the borders of India and Pakistan as recognized by the international community today. The region has a history of previous military interventions, terror attacks, and police crackdowns. The announcement that the Indian government will be revoking parts of Article 370, a part of their constitution that provides Kashmir with their special status, raises expectations that civil unrest and rioting may follow. In preparation for potential unrest, India has deployed thousands of troops to the region, as well as evacuated tourists, closed schools, and cut off internet service. Separatist groups have been operating in Kashmir for years, with many armed and directly linked to Pakistan. Analysts feel that the Indian government's steps to revoke Kashmir's special status could provoke a sudden outburst of violence. The call for revoking Article 370 provisions comes following India's current governing party, the staunchly Hindu Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, delivering on key campaign promises that they would remove. One opposition leader from the Indian National Congress, Ghulam Nabi Azad, denounced the call for the revocation of Article 370, saying, "Today, the BJP has murdered the Constitution of India." The president of Pakistan's Muslim League, Shahbaz Sharif, stated that Pakistan must call an emergency United Nations Security Council meeting, stating, "The people of Kashmir cannot be left alone in this moment. We will go to every extent to defend the human rights and legal rights of Kashmiris. Kashmir is the jugular vein of Pakistan, and anyone laying a hand on our jugular vein and honor will meet a frightful end." The escalated tensions in Kashmir have left many of the locals panicked, with many of whom who are gathering supplies, which has led to a shortage of medicine and food in the region. Petrol stations are currently barren after thousands lined up to fill their vehicles and gas canisters with gasoline. The call for the revocation of Article 370 comes amid escalated tensions, reaching a breaking point in February this year. A Kashmiri militant rammed a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device into an Indian paramilitary convoy, killing at least 40 soldiers. Jaish-e Mohammed, a Pakistan-based terror group, claimed responsibility for the attack, which was the worst reported for close to 3 decades. Most recently, Pakistan has accused India of using illegal cluster bombs on civilians on Saturday, August 3rd, in Kashmir. Pakistan states that the bombs killed 2 civilians and wounded 11. The situation caused thousands of tourists and visitors to flock to the regional airport, many of whom did not have tickets. Reports indicate that both Pakistan and India have been building up their troop levels near the line of control, the disputed border between India and Pakistan.
The United States Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, also known as DARPA, is funding the research and development of a secure open-source voting system. The $10 million contract was handed to Oregon-based tech company Galois, which has worked with other government agencies like the Department of Homeland Security and NASA. The project is part of DARPA's System Security Integrated Through Hardware and Firmware, also known as SITH, which is developing hardware security architectures and tools that are better protected from hardware vulnerabilities exploited in software. DARPA ultimately hopes to build secure chip-level processors that thwart hardware hacks as well as software-borne attacks. DARPA will bring a demonstration version of a secure voting ballot box to DEF CON 2019 Voting Machine Hacking Village this weekend. Daniel Zimmerman, Galois principal researcher, said, "We are providing the source code specifications, tests, and actually even providing participants at DEF CON with an easy way of actually putting their own malicious software into the devices. We're not daring them, but actually helping them break this. The system will use fully open source voting software instead of the closed proprietary software currently used in the majority of voting machines, which no one outside of voting machine testing labs can examine. In addition, it will be built on open source hardware made from secure designs and techniques developed over the last year as part of a special program at DARPA. The voting system will also be designed to create fully verifiable and transparent results so that voters don't have to blindly trust that the machines and election officials delivered correct results." In a press release, DARPA wrote, "Many of today's hardware defenses cover very specific instances or vulnerabilities, leaving much open to attack or compromise. Instead of tackling individual instances, SITH researchers are building defenses that address classes of vulnerabilities. In particular, SITH is tackling 7 vulnerability classes identified by the NIST Common Weakness Enumeration Specification, which span exploitation of permissions and privilege in the system architectures, memory errors, information leakage, and code injection. The smart ballot box, which is about the size of a 2-drawer filing cabinet with a letter-sized printer lid on top, runs on a small embedded RISC-V processor with a free RTOS-based custom software app. There is a separate touchscreen where voters input their votes and a connected printer where the ballots come out. The smart ballot box reads the barcoded ballots to determine whether they are valid for the election. This allows voters to confirm their votes and either cast them or ditch them. We're not doing an end-to-end verifiability crypto system this year," notes Zimmerman, "but instead a more visible verification process so participants can see the operation. DARPA is instead employing basic cryptography for the system to accept ballots." Dr. Linton Salmon, the program manager leading SITH, said, "Current efforts to provide electronic security largely rely on robust software development and integration, utilizing an endless cycle of developing and deploying patches to the software firewall without addressing the underlying hardware vulnerability. The basic concept around SITH is to make hardware a more significant participant in cybersecurity, rather than relegating system security only to software." Our true aim is to improve security for all electronic systems. This includes election equipment, but also defense systems, commercial devices, and beyond.
Thanks for listening. If you want to find more content, head over to subverse.minds.com to find articles, videos, and join our public newsroom where you can discuss topics and ideas as well as share articles. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium where we regularly post our content and receive feedback from our valued listeners like you. Our videos and articles can now be found. If you'd like to support our work, you can donate If you'd like to support our work, you can donate to our PayPal, Patreon, or Subscribestar. You can also get Subverse gear at our Teespring shop. All of those links are in the description. Stay tuned for more content every weekday, and we'll see you next time.